Good morning. I hope, trust, and pray everybody is doing well on a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Anytime we have that opportunity to gather together, it's a beautiful day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, listen, we're glad that you're joining us today. You look around, give somebody a good wave, a smile, one that says, I'm glad that you're here, and I mean it, and I'm not just faking you out, and the coffee's kicked in, and all is right with the world. If you're part of our online audience, please say hello and a good morning to Dr. John Cazito. Again, we appreciate Dr. John back there taking care of those folks that are part of our online audience, and we're so glad that each and every one of you have joined us today. It's going to be a great day. It's always a great day to gather with God's people, but it's going to be a great day because we're going to have that opportunity to once again, witness our brother in Christ, follow the Lord in obedience to His great command to be baptized today. So what a blessing that's going to be. Man, if you're missing out on that, I don't know what to tell you. But at any rate, we're so glad that you have joined us today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to you again, we just ask that your Spirit would truly fill this place, that, Lord, you would help us as we endeavor to seek your face today. Lord, we realize that there are many, many distractions along the way. Father, we realize that Satan's going to bring up each and everything in our heart that we need to do for today, and he's going to try to sidetrack us, but I pray that you would not allow that to happen. Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly focus upon you, that in every aspect of what we do, as we lift you up, you truly would draw all men unto you. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that, Lord, as we lift our voice in song, that it truly would be praise, not just something that we do. Lord, help us to ponder the words that are coming through our heart and out our mouth in your presence, and may they truly be, every aspect of them may be as worship toward you. Lord, we know that's a sweet savor in your presence. So, Father, we just pray that in each and everything that is said and done, that today you would be first and foremost honored, Lord, that you would be reverend, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in such a fashion that you move us closer to you. Lord, we pray that the lost would turn their lives over to you, the wayward would come back to you, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. So, Father, we pray that you'll bless our time as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Before we sing, let me ask you to mark your calendars for 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be having a fifth Sunday singing service at 6 o'clock. And so you'll get to see Pastor playing the big bass fiddle or the string bass, and you got the classic singers and the choir and the band and some solos and duets. So we're looking forward to that. Hope you'll be here at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening the 6th, and please bring a friend. Please join me as we stand and sing 395, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Thank you.
join me as we sing 484, Higher Ground.
This past Sunday, we enjoyed the time of being able to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what a time that was for us. What a time it must have been to have actually been there when the resurrection occurred. But have you ever thought about the circumstances and situations that took place during the crucifixion as well as following the resurrection? We're going to be looking at passages today that come out of John's Gospel, chapter 20. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me, John's Gospel and chapter 20. I want you to think this morning what it must have been like as the triumphal entry took place. We kind of back it up a little bit, and when Jesus was coming in, and all those folks that were saying, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they were putting the palm branches out, and they were waiting on this great, magnificent thing. And here's why: they had it in their mind what this thing should be when it came down to Jesus Christ being a new king. The problem was with them, much like all of us, they had it wrong. Yeah, if you ever get these preconceived ideas about what the Lord's going to do and how the Lord is going to do it, and he doesn't do it anything like you thought he was going to do it. And therefore, what happens is sometimes we get miffed. Sometimes we think God's not listening. Sometimes we think God doesn't know what he's doing, or he doesn't care about us. So I want you to think about what that must have been like, not only for those who believed in who Jesus was, but as they watched him walk to the cross, to Golgotha's hill, as they watched him crucified, as they watched him give up the ghost, there was probably something within inside them that shuddered. Because they probably said, this is not the way this is supposed to be. This is not the way it was supposed to happen. You know, at best, he was going to take care of those who were his enemy. At best, he was going to go out and just throttle all those, you know, who said he wasn't what he was. And you know, he was going to come forth and he was going to be everything we thought he was going to be. And then, of course, after he gave up the ghost, after he was buried, there must have been this sense of, what do we do now? Have you ever had a great letdown in your life? You know, where something that you anticipated so much didn't turn out the way that you thought it was going to turn out. Imagine what that must have been like for those who follow Christ. Imagine what it was like for his disciples, those who had given their lives to follow him. They had given up fishing. They had given up being a doctor. They had given up construction and tent making and all these things so they could follow Jesus. And this thing didn't turn out the way they thought. Now, ironically enough, Jesus was telling them all along the way what was going to happen. They just weren't getting it. And you imagine that after his crucifixion, they had gathered together and were thinking of all the thoughts of, well, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? You know, do I go back to being a doctor? Do I go back to doing these things? And I'm sure that not only was there some hurt, there was probably some disappointment along the way. Have you ever been hurt and disappointed at the same time? And that kind of ebbs and flows. Sometimes the hurt takes precedent. Yeah, then sometimes the disappointment outdoes it. Yeah, it's back and forth, but you battle those two things. But either way, here's something I want you to understand. Both of those things, hurt and disappointment, will cause you to not focus clearly on what it is that God is wanting to do within your life. And the same held true that day. We know some things about the disciples. Like I said, we know that Mary went down to the tomb to do the work of an undertaker, and she came back and she told his disciples that he was risen. I don't know what it was like to have been in that room. I am sure that each of those disciples had some sort of a different reaction that was going on. I'm sure that there was some excitement along the way. I'm sure that there were those who were sitting back going, no. Really? Even though they should have known what was going on. And then I'm sure that there were those who along the way had some doubt. They were probably going, oh, come on, really? Mary, you're just distraught. You must just be overtaken by grief. You don't know what's taking place. I mean, we don't have any scripture that testifies to that, but when you get those folks together in a room, the same thing. Well, here, we would all have some sort of a different reaction. But it was when Jesus actually makes the appearance to them that it begins to matter, that it begins to become real, that it begins to sink in. And I want you to understand that's a critical statement that I just made, not only in the life of the disciples, but in your life and in my life. When he appears to them, he becomes real. Has Jesus, first of all, appeared to you? Now, he is seeking each and every one of us. I mean, for a lot of us, we sit back, oh, yeah, I saw Jesus for who he was when I was a child. I saw Jesus for who he was maybe when I was an adult or at camp or during an invitation or whatever it may have been. And you saw Jesus for who he was. But my question is this, did he become real in your life? Did he become everything that he said that he was going to be? I want us to look at John chapter 20, and we're going to look at when Jesus appeared to his disciples, but one in particular, and most of you all know this story, but we want to look at his reaction. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19, says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you." Now pause right there for just a moment, because this is when Jesus appears to his disciples in person. Verse 20 says, "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Verse 24, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we claim the promise that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It doesn't need help from any man whatsoever. And Lord, today it's not about any person, Father, but it is about you. It is about your risen Savior. Lord, today I pray that your word may truly permeate our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move among us, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us in ways, Father, that we first of all clearly and loudly hear what it is that you have to say to us. And Lord, may it be done in such a fashion as never before. But Lord, most of all, I pray that the words that we hear today from you and from your word would change our lives forever. Lord, just be with this, your messenger, for these moments, that you would truly be high and lifted up. Lord, again, we're nothing without you, so you draw all men unto you, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see, what we have here is Jesus making his appearance to the disciples, and they're having the opportunity for the first time since the crucifixion and since the resurrection to put eyes on him. Now, for whatever reason, they were probably there together. They probably saw themselves as a unit, the disciples. They had been on this ministry with Jesus. They had functioned together. So this day was probably not unlike many of the other days that they had as they followed our Savior. They were probably leaning upon one another. They were trying to process everything that was going on. They were trying to process what was taking place. But to them, what they were trying to process was their Savior was dead and gone. What do we do now? You know, we'd given our lives. Maybe they were trying to comfort each other. We don't know what was going on in that room other than the fact that they were in the room minus one guy who was not there. Thomas. Thomas was not there. And when Jesus appears to them, think about it for a moment. You know, we always have this saying that seeing is believing, don't we? You know, there's one problem when it comes down to this, and it's actually, Jesus points it out at the end of our text today. Remember what he said to Thomas. He said, you know, you believe because you see. What about the people who believe who haven't had the chance to see? What about those who will believe in the coming generations that haven't had the chance to touch the nail-scarred hands? Imagine the faith that it takes to do that. You see, we are believing in something that had occurred, even though we didn't have an opportunity to see it. I believe it, you believe it, and we are saved by grace through faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So basically what Jesus was saying to Thomas is, how hard really is it for you to believe when you have seen me and you have touched the nail-scarred hands? Think about those who haven't had that privilege. Now, all the time, and I mean, it wasn't up until just, you know, a few years ago that we used to give Thomas a hard time. You know, and probably your Bible somewhere in the passage, if you've got the subsection headlines, call him what? What, Thomas? Doubting Thomas. That doesn't sound like a quality that you would like to be called as a follower and as a believer, is it? Well, that's old Doubting Thomas over there. But I pray that today our heart and our attitude will be changed toward Thomas because of something very special that took place, and it is this event. It's ironic that Jesus appears to him and he says to them, peace to you. This is all the disciples. This is the first time. This is when Thomas wasn't there. And he says, he's given them some ministry directives. And verse 24 says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. He didn't see this. So you can imagine what happened. You know, I don't know, Thomas may have been out, you know, grocery shopping or whatever else it was that he was doing. All we know is that he wasn't there. But then Thomas meanders back to where the disciples are. Does Thomas see the same thing that he saw when he went shopping or whatever else it was that he was doing? No. Does he see the same general grief within the room? No, he does not. He sees something completely different than what it was the last time he was with that group. And what happens is, in verse 25, we see what the other disciples, get that, the other disciples said to him. It says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. That's critical, isn't it? Now listen, they had seen the Lord with their own eyes. Thomas is still sitting back in this whirlwind thinking, what's wrong with you guys? You have seen the Lord. Now, a completely different message for a completely different day, but was the story of the road to Emmaus. Most of us know that story. We know how there were those that were journeying along. Jesus came along with them. And notice what it says in that passage on the road to Emmaus. It says they didn't recognize Jesus. How many times is Jesus in the midst of our circumstance or our situation and we don't even recognize him? How about another proof positive? When Peter walked on the water, it took the disciples recognizing him first. Jesus was there. Remember, one of the gospel passages in that passage about Peter says, Jesus walking on the water, intending to pass them by. So I believe Jesus was just going to stroll on by, but yet something different happened. What happened different? They recognized him. They saw him. But then sometimes, even when you see Jesus, you don't realize who he is. Now, Jesus is not doing this in our lives to be cruel to us. He's doing it because there are many lessons that we need to learn along the path of this particular journey. But anyway, Thomas shows up. He comes back to the place that maybe when he left earlier was a place of mourning, a place where everybody's spirit was downcast and downtrodden. And what does he say? Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. That is huge. So he said to them, this is what Thomas answers them back. Verse 25, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. There are a whole bunch of personal pronouns in there, aren't there? Me, I, unless I, unless I do this, unless I see these things. Now, I said before, we've been hard on Thomas probably all of our life, many of us. And for the sake of time, I want to fast forward a little bit. But how many people today are like Thomas? How many of your friends and how many of your family have that mentality that unless I can see, unless I can touch. Now, first of all, we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're believing in something even though you can't see it. And yet, what we want and what so many people want, we want to see it. We want to touch the nail-scarred hands. We want to touch those nail-scarred feet. We want to touch that spear wound into his side. Now, here's something that may surprise you, but I want to say that Jesus wants you to do just that. Did you get it? And some of y'all are going, wait a minute, I don't get it. He is wanting you to do exactly what Thomas did there. Now, here's the big thing. Listen, don't miss anything else. If you miss everything, don't miss this today. Jesus wants you to experience him. Remember back 30 years ago, Henry Blackaby had the study Experiencing God. Many of you probably did that. Experiencing God. See, we want a relationship, and what Jesus wants is a relationship with us, not a formalism. I go to church, or I pick up my Bible, or I do this. It's not about that. It is about a one-on-one personal relationship with a holy God through the living, risen Jesus Christ, period. He does. Yeah, obviously, we should serve him because we love him. But it's not about going through the motions. Jesus today invites each and every one of us to touch the nail-scarred hands. You know, some people today, maybe part of our online audience, maybe even here today, you are desperately wanting to experience God. You're wanting him to show up in your circumstances, in your situations in a huge way. Well, let me tell you something I know today. He is there in the midst of your circumstances. Do you see him? Are you looking for him? And some of you have prayed that prayer, Lord, I'm wavering. I'm having doubts. I'm having all these things. If I could just touch the nail-scarred hands, let me tell you something today. Jesus says, come on, like he did Thomas, come on up here. Thomas, go ahead. Touch the nail-scarred hands. Go ahead. Put your hand into the spear wound in my side. The question is, will we? Now, remember what I said a moment ago? I said I've been a little hard on Thomas my whole life. And we call him Doubting Thomas. We give him that name because of this circumstance or situation, which is only listed in John's gospel, by the way. But let's think about what happened to Thomas after he touched the nail-scarred hands. Did Thomas sit back and touch the nail-scarred hands of Jesus and say, you could have had a good makeup artist? Did he sit back and say, nope, this is not you. This is, you know, how did you do that? That's a good trick. Did he say any of that? Nope. What did he say? He said, my Lord and my God. Acceptance. I now believe. You see, folks, I believe that many of us today are having a hard time believing in who God is because we've spent our whole life having a form of religion, as it were. We've gone to church. We've done all the right stuff. But the problem is we have never experienced God. We have never placed our fingers into the nail scars of Jesus Christ. We have never allowed him to show up in a big way in our lives. We have never touched him. We've never reached out to do that. Because let me make you a promise. If you do that, that's a conditional statement. Remember your if thens. If you do that, then something's going to happen. If you allow Jesus to present himself, and if you experience him, here's what's going to happen. Your life will be changed forever. Because you know what? When you follow Thomas's life after this, Did Thomas ever waver one single time afterwards? Not once. In fact, Thomas died a martyr, didn't he? Are you willing to die for what you believe? Now, that don't sound like the Thomas that we're reading about over here in John chapter 20, does it? I don't know, man. I don't know if I can believe. Unless I can touch those nail-scarred hands, I'm going to have trouble believing. Some of you all came in today like the old Thomas. Well, you know, I just don't know. Some of you just meandered in, and you, for whatever reason that it may have been, maybe mama taught you to do this, maybe you've been doing this your whole life, but you have never experienced God. There are people I know who have spent a lifetime in church that have never experienced God. Let me tell you where you experience God. You don't generally experience Him on the mountaintops, right? So if you're not, don't get me wrong, you can experience Him there. But when it becomes real is when you experience Him where? In the valleys. And some of us today wonder why we're stuck in a deep, dark valley, because God loves you so much that He wants you to experience Him. He loves you so much, He's calling you over to touch the nail-scarred hands, that when you come out of the valley, you will never be the same. You will be changed forever and ever and ever. And like Thomas, you will go to your grave knowing, not thinking, knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, some of you may be sitting back today saying, that is me exactly. I have spent a lifetime not experiencing God. I've spent a lifetime experiencing religion, and I have never experienced God. Well, today's your lucky day, because today He is calling you, just like He did the disciples in the boat when He was walking in the midst. If you've seen Him today, I love that part where it says He showed Himself to His disciples. They saw Him. Today, He is showing Himself to you. Maybe you're in the midst of one of the darkest valleys of your life. Let me get you to stop and take a deep breath and pause for just a moment and begin to look around in your circumstance, because here's one thing I will guarantee you, that Jesus is in the midst of your circumstance. He's there. Can you see Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you looking for Him? Are you on a mission to experience God? Because I will tell you this, that when you do, your whole perspective on everything changes. Because then what you realize is that your life is not based on your ever-changing circumstances. Your life is based on a never-changing Savior. And it doesn't matter what this looks like. What does this look like? You know, for some odd reason, we've got this idea that God has promised everybody a rose garden walk in life. Isn't that funny? God never promised us that. It's not what He promised us at all. In fact, He said, if you walk with me, you're going to walk in some pretty dangerous territory. You're going to walk in some pretty tough places. That's what He said. But everybody's got this idea that well, just because I follow the Lord, that everything in my life should be perfect. That's not what it says. Ask Job. Job was following the Lord, wasn't he? If anybody was doing it right, Job was doing it right. I said this before. If you go back and look at that, Job was the guy who even sacrificed for his children in case they sinned. Well, just in case the kids have sinned, Lord, here's a sacrifice. The guy was doing it great. God blessed him. He had prospered, didn't he? He was wealthy. He had all was most right with the world. And then Satan showed up, didn't he? And what did God say? Yeah, you can have at him. You can't kill him, but you can have at him. That's pretty broad, isn't it? I've said this so many times when I talk about Job. For some odd reason, everybody wants to think that Job was this greatest, highest, most spiritual guy in the world, and that he just took it and said, oh, yes. Well, in fact, the scripture where he says, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. We've got this idea that it's like, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. Now, let me tell you something. If you read that in its context, Job was mad at God. Job was upset. Job was taken aback. And Job said, this is basically what Job was saying. He said, I don't care if God kills me. What have I got to lose? I've lost everything already. I can't sit down. I can't lay down. I've lost my health and everything else. I'm going to tell God exactly how I feel, and if he kills me, so be it. That's what that verse says. It's all right to be upset. It is all right to go to God. It is all right to take that with him. But Job also said something else. And here's what I want you to get that Job said. Job also said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are where you are today because God has allowed it to happen in your life. Now let me ask you the hard question. Have those things in your life changed you for the better or for the worse? Because let me make you a promise, they've changed you. Have they made you a better, stronger Christian? Or have they made you turn your back on God? And have they created doubts? Because listen, if you place your faith in your ever-changing circumstances, that is a sandy foundation. Because what's going to happen is life, and even at the hand of God, is going to shake your, it's going to shake your structure. And what's going to happen then is whether you stand or not is going to depend on what foundation you have. That's why the wise man built his house upon the rock. On the rock. And so often we turn to God when our foundations are shaking only to realize it is God who is shaking our foundations. Thomas, most people wouldn't sit back and say, today I want you to be like Thomas. After the explanation, I want to encourage you today to become like Thomas after he saw the Lord. Because here's the promise I can make you. The promise that I can make you is that today, right now, as we speak, Jesus is saying to each and every one of you, come on up here. Touch these nail-scarred hands. He'll call you by name. Come on up here. I want you to experience me. I want to get to know you better. I want you to get to know me better. I want you to see what I did for you. Come on up. Listen, quit hiding back in the shadows. This may hurt some people's feelings, but there are too many people today that call themselves believers, that call themselves religious or Christian or whatever, but what they've done is they've spent their whole life living somebody else's testimony. Mom's testimony, dad's testimony, brother or sister's testimony. Oh, look at what God did here. Listen, let me ask you, what has God done in your life? Because if you can't stand up and account for what God has done in your life, then you've never touched the nail-scarred hands. You have been a spectator. You have sat back on the fringe when all the while God is saying, come on, come on, come on. Listen, I don't want you to love me from afar. I want you to be a part. Come on. And if the only way you're going to believe is to touch these nail-scarred hands, then touch them. Touch them today. Because like Thomas, once you do, you will never doubt again. You will be willing to die a martyr. Listen, you won't worry about what society has to say about you. Remember what I said? Maybe it was last week. I said the older you get, there's something that comes about you. The older you get, the less you care. That's a big deal in high school, isn't it? That's why peer pressure is so prevalent there. Because, you worry about what it is. I mean, think about it. I mean, listen, we can all remember back. Lord have mercy, if you had a blemish, get the Oxy 10 and some makeup. We got to fix something here. Nowadays, somebody could club your face and you're like, I'm just going to the store. It'll be all right. And when people begin to say, you're a Christian? Yes, I am. It's time for us to, the only way you're ever going to get that way is for you to experience God. You can't get there any other way. Because once you experience Him, you don't care what everybody else thinks about what's going on. All you care about is your relationship, your vertical relationship. Now, you can be nice about it. Listen, I know a lot of people who are unbelievers that think I'm crazy. I know a lot of believers that think I'm crazy. But that's beside the point. What happens is I've experienced God. And man, what an experience. And see, I want you to experience that too. Like Mary, when she left the tomb, she went and told his disciples. She was excited. Listen, I've seen Jesus. He's alive. He's not dead. When we experience God, we can't wait to tell everybody else. We want our friends, we want our family to be a part of that. Because one day, life itself is going to quit beating on you. But eternity is a whole lot longer than the present, isn't it? The question today is, like Thomas, have you experienced God? Have you placed your hands into the nail-scarred hands of the Master? Now, there could be a lot of places that you could be right now this morning in your mindset. Brad, you guys come on up. I'm going to ask our musicians to go ahead and take their place. There's a lot of places you could be. Maybe you have never experienced God in the way of salvation today. And He's calling you. He has shown up in your circumstances and situations, and He has said to you, today I am calling you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. The question is, what will your answer be? Will you open your heart's door and say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know what you did on Calvary's cross, and I believe you're allowing me to touch those nail-scarred hands. Listen, I want to encourage you to do that. Right now, don't even wait on me. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. That's some of the best prayers there ever were. Maybe you're here today and you have you've experienced God before, but it's been a long, long time. You have forgotten what those nail-scarred hands feel like. Because you've been out on the fringe. You have forgotten what it's like to know Him intimately, to walk with Him daily. The litmus test on that is there are so many people who sit back and say, well, yeah, I used to walk closer to the Lord. Did you used to walk closer to the Lord than you do today? Then He is calling you back. Like the prodigal son. Maybe today is the day that, like the prodigal, you wake up in the hog pen and come to your senses and begin to head back to the Father. Oh, He's not just waiting on you. He's going to meet you. He's going to meet you. He is going to run toward you. And He's going to put His arms around you. And He's going to welcome you home. Because He's waiting. Where are you today? Have you experienced God? Are the things that have turned you away from Him See, there's a lot of people who've said, well, I used to follow the Lord, and then all of a sudden he didn't show up in my life the way I thought he should have. Well, he didn't show up at the resurrection the way everybody thought he should have either, did he? Most of the time, if I have a plan on how God's going to work it out in my life, it's 100% wrong. Because he don't show up the way I think he should show up. Maybe you're mad at him. Maybe you're a little like Job this morning. You've thrown your hands up and you have walked away. And you feel like the Lord has let you down. The Lord has not let you down. But it's much like a youngster that is being disciplined. All of us once were youngsters, weren't we? We didn't like the discipline, did we? Mom, Dad, you just don't want me to have no fun. That's what it is. You're just a spoil sport. No. Later on, what you found out was, no, the reason they didn't let you do that is they didn't want you to die young. Got your tail popped because you couldn't reach into the flame on the stove. Well, then one day you accidentally reached into the flame on the stove and you remembered why mama popped your tail, right? Oh! See, you become your parents later because they have modeled some things for you. You ever caught yourself doing that? The things that you said, I will never, ever treat my children this way. And then you're like, oh my goodness, I am my mom and dad. It's because they were smart. Where in your journey are you concerning experiencing God? Today is the day to head in his direction. Listen, if it's salvation, I'll be up here. If you need this altar, it's up here. You don't need me, but boy, we like to celebrate with you. I've said before, listen, if you need Jesus right now, I pray that whatever you're doing, if you're driving down the road, if you're sitting at the house, if you're here, bow your head right now and just call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need you as my Savior. That prayer he will hear. Don't wait. Life is short. If you need this altar, if you need to come back to him, maybe you're in the hog pen today and you need to head back to him. Get up and do it. The altar's here. I'm here. Cry out to the Lord because he's in the middle of your situation and he is waiting for you. If you need me, I'm here. The altar's here as Brad comes to lead us as we sing our invitation hymn. I'm going to ask that you all stand with me. Tim 3:20, turn your eyes upon Jesus. bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you continue to search your heart, and as you continue to pray for those around you, I ask you this question. Can you leave here saying, I have been obedient to what God has asked and called me to do today? I have answered the knock on that door in my heart for salvation. I have answered the knock on the door of my heart to move closer to Him. Can you say, I am leaving here today wanting to experience Him and have a different walk? Will you do that? You continue to pray for those around you at this time. I'm going to ask Jacob if he would make his way down as we prepare for our baptism. And as Jacob comes forward, I'm also going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him.
Thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, as we take this offering, we pray that you'll bless the gift and bless each giver, that others might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We ask it in His name. Amen.
Isn't it a blessed day to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. It's always always good to be a part of watching folks express their obedience to the Lord. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is the first act of obedience following trusting Christ as Lord and Savior. It is actually the public profession. I know sometimes we get to that point where in church we'll say somebody's coming forward today and they're making a public profession of faith. This is Jacob's public profession, and I am just so tickled. We've watched him from the time that he was really little, which he's not anymore, grow into be the man that he is today. Watched victories and watched defeats. And I am so proud of him today as we gather here together to celebrate his baptism, to celebrate his walk and his relationship with our Lord and Savior. Don't fall. Walking like his daddy. To my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is my little friend and brother, Jacob. Jacob, have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, sir.
In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now let me get you to step up a little bit. Don't want to thump your head. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Man, what a privilege it is just to be in the house of the Lord today. And I am so grateful and so thankful. It's great to have friends and family come to celebrate with him. Great to have the Parnells and the Parnells and the Parnells, all four different families and different generations there as well. Yeah, for a family from out of town that have come in to be a part of the great thing that they've had an opportunity to celebrate, to share, and to witness. We are so proud of him. Now, here's one thing I want you to remember. Please make sure that you pray for Jacob, as with everybody else. Life is tough, especially at the age of where he is and what he's going through. There's so much that gets thrown at them, particularly at our local high school. I mean, I have had opportunities to talk to students, and you and I never had to face some of the things that they're having to face. And they're having to take some pretty tough stance on those particular things. So I'm going to ask that you pray for them. Yeah, just like their own, just like they're your own, because they are your own. We're all family. So with that, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Brother David if he would to come dismiss us in a word of prayer. Don't forget the things that are on the slate. I think Dave will tell you about anything that we've got going on or anything that I've forgotten. I love you. Thank you all for coming today and supporting Jacob.
What a celebration. All right, we've got, we want to mention some celebrations to you also. We've got some birthdays coming up this week. Russell Wright's birthday is today. Jamie Edwards is tomorrow. And then Millie Bailiff's is Wednesday. And Mike and Kay Harrell have an anniversary Thursday. So it's a busy week of celebration this week. I hope you'll speak to those or send them a card or contact them, send them an email or something. Let them know how much you appreciate them and that you're praying for them. All right, our schedule for today, Building and Grounds Committee is at 3:30 in room 116. D-Life meets at 3:30. Choir practice is at 4:45. Awana's at 5:30. Bible study is at 6 here in the sanctuary. And band rehearsal is at 7 here in the sanctuary. The CBC Classic Gospel Singers will practice tomorrow at 3 o'clock in room 118, and then don't forget the men's breakfast at Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. We start at 10 o'clock on Wednesday if we can get a seat. Sometimes it's busy over there. But if you haven't been, we'd like to invite you to come. just a man. Okay, it's men's breakfast. But we do have something for the ladies. There's one of these out there in the foyer that you can pick up, ladies. Planning a ladies' retreat. You get in on the ground floor, you can help make the decisions when it is and where it is. So you have to sign up. So we hope that you will sign up out there today and get involved in being a part of that. Also, we're going to have CPR classes here, and there's a sign-up sheet also out there for that in the foyer. If you have any questions about that, if you'll talk to Betty Cazito, Betty will be in charge of seeing that that takes place. And then we have an opportunity to go to a ball game together. There's a sign-up sheet out there. There's information in your bulletin about it today. It's at Winston-Salem, going to a game there May the 17th. We need 20 people in order to get the discount on the tickets, and we'll try to arrange transportation. You can carpool or whatever if you want to go. Unfortunately, today's the last day you can sign up for that. We had a quick notice and had to respond quickly, but we were told that we'd have to respond by this week if we want to go. So if you want to go, we'd love for you to be a part of that. Love for you to get involved in that. There is a lot going on in the life of this church right now, and we want you to get involved. So pray for folks, pray for Jacob, pray for his family, pray for these folks we celebrate birthdays with and anniversaries with. That's a great time to remember praying for somebody. Also, Larry Johnson's in the hospital, at Cone Hospital. He's in ICU. He's a very, very sick man. Pray for Larry and his wife, Anna, and their family. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we're so thankful for the privilege of worship. We thank you for the opportunity we have to see Jacob come to know Christ and see him baptized today. Father, what a privilege it is to see young people committing their life to you. Lord, as we go our separate ways today, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Use us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.